Yeah, so I found out 2 minutes and 35 seconds ago that I'm doing children's story. So, fortunately, I'm really at a loss for words. So, I want to take you back a moment. How many of you have read any of Norma Youngberg's mission story books? Nyla and the White Crocodile, Fire in the Mountain, Jungle Thorn, those ones specifically. So I grew up on these books. So I was really excited in 2017 when I had the opportunity to go to Malaysia. And I'm going to give you the setting for this story. Nyla and the White Crocodile happened just downriver from where this happened. Jungle Thorn was just up the river from where I was. And far in the mountain was Mount Kinabalu, which is about 50 miles away. So, the setting is any jungle book you've ever read. You've got monkeys chattering in the trees, birds flying overhead, lush, uncut jungle in rubber plantations. It's absolutely beautiful. The weather was a lot like East Texas in the summer. I think that day was about 97 and about 99% humidity. So a little bit toasty, nice and, you know, not humid at all. And I was assigned to be the lifeguard this day because boys' special activity at the summer camp I'd gone down there to help start was swimming. So we were swimming in the mighty Solomon River, which was about the size of the Angelina River and about the same color at this point. So I don't know why we thought swimming was a good idea, but, you know, we always did swimming at our camps in America, so we thought, you know, we'll enjoy it here. Right, it was 97 degrees and 99% humidity. I mean, we were just as wet out of the water as we were in the water. So, so we decided to go swimming. And by, we decided to have a swimming race. Now, this river at this point, there's a sandy bank kind of where I'm standing, and then the other side, which is, the river's about the length, it was about the width of the length of this church. So on the other side where Rick's sitting back there was a rocky outcrop. So imagine this little piece of furniture, whatever it's called, that the TV is on. That's our rocky outcrop, and over here is our beach. So we had about five boys and one of our Malaysian counselors named Timothy that decided to swim across this river. And they started out, and it started out like any other swimming race they've ever seen, where it was just going brilliant. Lots of splashing, yelling, shouting, everyone's cheering. And then they made it almost to the other side, and the other boys touched the rock and came back. And about the time they were coming back, Timothy, who'd fallen behind, now he started out looking really strong. I'm like, oh, he's the only one of these guys who knows how to swim. By the time he got out there, he decided to explore the bottom of the river. I thought he just dropped out of the race. You ever been to a swimming pool and before someone goes down to touch the bottom, you know, they put their hand up, mark down their spot? I'm like, oh, that's so nice of him. He's marking exactly where he went down so I won't lose him. So as the boys are swimming back, I see his hand come up a little bit, and I see just this time his eyes and his nose come up out of the water. I'm like, huh, that's weird. So now I'm clued in on him, and then he comes up one last time, and just kind of like the top of his head comes to the top of the water, and he just kind of sinks down to the bottom. So at this point, I, in my trusty manila rope that I had for lifeguarding equipment, I swim out there as fast as I can. But unfortunately, the water is completely opaque. When I say you put your hand in front of your face and you can't see anything, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. I couldn't find anything in there. And now I'm getting really worried. I'm praying like I've never prayed before because, besides the risk of drowning, I know that maybe if he drowns, we'll be able to resuscitate him. But we're swimming in a pool, and then over here there's kind of a suspension bridge. There's a ford in the river where you could also drive across the river. And then down here is a rapids. And I knew that if he goes through those rapids unconscious, that he's going to hit his head on those rocks or get pinned underwater somewhere, and that's going to be the end for Timothy. So as I'm frantically swimming around trying to find this guy, I'm praying. I'm like, God, What did you bring him here for? Did you bring him here today just to die at the summer camp? Are we going to make international news headlines that Seventh-day Adventist summer camp startup loses a counselor on the first day due to inadequate lifeguard equipment and training? Like, I'm in an absolute panic. A couple whole minutes went by, the longest minutes of my life. And by this time, you know, I'm really close to the mouth of this rapid because I'm like, well, at least it's not as deep here. Maybe he'll float to the surface or I'll be able to, you know, feel something before he makes it down the rapid. And then just upstream of me, I saw something rising in the water, and it was Timothy. So I grabbed him. He was face down. I picked him up, and he's Malaysian. He has a little bit darker complexion than I do normally, but his face was as white as a sheet. His eyes were glazed over, rolled back in his head, and he wasn't breathing, and he didn't have a pulse. And I was absolutely devastated. My God, why is this happening? Like, did you bring him here? Did you bring me here just to drag his corpse out of the river? And now I have another problem. I'm in the middle of the river at the top of this rapids, where it gets shallow, or shallower, but it's still up to my knees, and it's flowing really fast now. So now I have a body almost as big as I am, and I'm trying to bring him from the middle of the river to the edge where you can get help. So now, as I'm dragging this limp form across the river, I'm praying, God, just please save him. Do something for him. And please make it so I don't have to try CPR, because I'd learned CPR, but I wasn't CPR certified yet, and I was really scared of trying to do that. So all this time, I'm pulling him across, just praying, and just talking to Timothy, too. I'm like, hey, if you can hear me, just say something. Open your eyes, flutter, something. And then we're almost to the edge of the river, back to the beach. And I just said, Timothy, how many fingers am I holding up? And his eyelids flutter, and he said, two. Oh, that was the greatest sound I've ever heard in my life. So I drug him to the beach. I laid him down, and fortunately, we did have a doctor on staff who, just at that moment, like, we were thinking about calling for him. And the moment we thought of calling for him, he was already walking across the bridge our direction. Another answer to prayer. So they took him to our, kind of our headquarters lodge, and doctor worked on him. And then I went back into counselor mode, because now, of course, all my boys at the summer camp had just watched this go down. And now, you know, they're all terrified. Timothy's their friend and mentor. Like, what do we do? And for some reason, they weren't interested in swimming anymore. We had like half an hour left of swimming time, and they didn't want to swim. Like, well, what are we going to do? So we packed things up early. And as I'm cleaning up the beach of the scene, I found Timothy's watch. And knowing Timothy, I'm like, well, he's probably laying up there in a bed somewhere worrying about his watch. So I'm going to go to our sick room and, you know, see how he's doing. So I grabbed his watch, walked across the bridge and up the hill to the lodge. And as I'm getting ready to go up the stairs, who's coming down the stairs but Timothy? Now, I didn't expect the guy to be alive 15 minutes ago, much less walking and talking. I mean, this guy wasn't breathing. He didn't have a pulse, last I knew. And all of a sudden, like, he's acting normal. So I'm like, Timothy, I'm so happy to see you. I have two questions for you. One, what happened out there? And two, what does it feel like to drown? I've never drowned before. I have no idea. So he says, well, as I was swimming across, I got tired, and I went to put my foot down. And unfortunately, the river is deep at that point. It's about 9 feet deep, and Timothy's only about 5'7" deep. So that didn't work out. So he couldn't touch the bottom, and he panicked. And when he panicked, he took a breath of water instead of air. And being a skinny guy, he just went straight down to the bottom. So he put up his hand, hoping somebody would see him. And then, when he went under the water for the third time, he felt himself just freeze, like he was paralyzed with fright. And he could feel himself being dragged along the bottom of the river, but he couldn't do anything about it. He felt like he couldn't move his arms or legs. He's just at the mercy of the current as it dragged him along the bottom of the river. And Timothy was praying down there. And he was praying the same prayer that I'd been praying at the surface. God, what did you bring me here for? Did you bring me here just to die? Just to drown? Fortunately, Timothy is a Bible student. And he had a verse flash into his head. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. He told me, Ben, I remembered that verse, and as I passed out, I had peace that it was all going to be all right. Next thing he saw was me screaming at him. But that's not the end of the story, fortunately, for Timothy. Timothy had no long-term effects from his drowning. He went on to be a Bible worker for a couple years, and then I found out just a couple weeks ago that he is now a pastor in Malaysia. He never lost his fire for God, and once a year on the anniversary of he calls it his salvation, he sent me a text, see how I'm doing. We still keep in touch. So I'm thankful that we had that experience, and it really drove home to me the importance of memorizing scripture and praying without ceasing.